I'm supposed to give you greetings from the Christians in where I was at in Germany, in France, and in Portugal. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background on how the Lord has led to these different places. So give you a report, and then we'll go and look at the scriptures, okay? Last December, if you recall, I had a chance to go to Brazil. And at that conference that I was at in Brazil, I took charge of the editing of the courses, the main courses in Portuguese. And even though I don't know Portuguese, I know the computer, so I can set up letters in a format. And I've got Lisbon about 6 hours away from where we live in Spain, so I've had a chance this year to make the trip to Lisbon 3 or 4 times. And so there's an assembly there of Christians who are willing to help with the revising of the courses and putting them more into the language today, not changing the context, not changing the meaning of the text. So fortunately, with what God's given us with email, they can send it back and forth, and I don't have to make as many trips. So part of my trip up to Germany was to get more information on the Portuguese courses. There are some assemblies up in Germany, a number of them, who have been working with Emmaus courses for about 25 years in Africa. They're doing about 500,000 courses in French Africa, in the Congo especially. They're doing about 200,000 courses in Nigeria. The Lord is just blessing. And you know what they do down up there in Germany? They get the different people in different churches to print up the courses. They get a little machine. They print them up. They get together. They fold them. They staple them. They send them to headquarters. They put them in these big containers, and that's how they go down to Africa. So the courses are relatively done free by the labor of love of the Christians. And so it's a really neat ministry. So these brethren are wanting to get involved in Angola. In Angola, they speak Portuguese. And they speak the Portuguese of Portugal and not the Portuguese of Brazil. So now I'm trying to bring all that together. And so that was the journey up there to Germany was for that. And there's also a brother up there who is working with Spanish courses in Germany. I've mentioned this in the past. There's been a tremendous, tremendous influx of Latin Americans into Europe. In particular, people from Brazil and people from Ecuador and Colombia. So this brother up there in Germany works with the Spanish courses, and he's got about 100 students studying Emmaus courses in Germany, but in Spanish. So I work with this brother, and so it's been neat just to see how the Lord is developing this work really worldwide. And I just like you to continue to pray for that, because there are people who are studying the Word of God at home, and some of them aren't Christians. They come from a biblical Christian background, but their understanding is so poor that many of them do not know Christ. And as they study the scriptures, it's amazing. You know, we have these questions. What do you say? They say, I never knew this. I have trusted Christ. And that's, you know, I can tell you that by the dozens of people who have come to know Christ. So my trips have been with that in particular. And I've got a lot of work to do in the next couple of weeks, because they're sending down 24,000 courses in Portuguese to Angola. And so I'm committed to produce 12 courses in the next 6 weeks, get them all set up so that they can begin to print them and then fold them and staple them and all that. So I'd ask you to pray for that. So a lot of that work in the last couple of weeks has been with the Emmaus courses, apart from all the other activities. I'd like to share with you some of the work in the prison in Salamanca where we're at, and that's been a real joy. The Lord just gave me an idea here a couple of weeks ago, and you may have read it on our last letter that we sent back in September. We're getting graduates from our prison school, you might say. They come, they get caught by drug smuggling. That's a big thing in Spain. And we had one fella, a Chinese fella, who was saved a number of years ago. We baptized them last year, and he invited an Argentinian fella to the Bible study. And this Argentinian fellow just pretty much at first was a scoffer. Oh, that Christianity, it doesn't work, you know. And this fellow told me his testimony. I'd like to share some of it with you. He was about ready to do a drug deal his only drug deal in his life. He walks out of his house in Argentina, and there is somebody down the street witnessing and giving out Bible tracts. And they gave this guy a Bible tract. He sticks it in his pocket. He gets on the bus, getting to the airport, and he looks at, ah, that's trash, and he throws it out the window. So he's got, I don't know how many kilos, how many pounds of cocaine on him and heroin, and he gets on the plane, he gets to Spain, and he's waiting for his luggage. And he's starting to squirm, okay? He's got all this stuff in his luggage, and he's never done this before. Never done this before. And finally, the police just said, well, let's check this guy out. So they call him in, they check him out, and lo and behold, they find the drugs in his suitcase. Gets thrown into prison, and he goes from one prison to another, and in this prison, he finds this Chinese fella who directs him to our Bible study. And so he comes to the Bible study because the other brother who, Javi, who you met here in February, this brother Javi, remember he came with his wife and two children? He and I do that Bible study. We've been doing it for about 8 years. And so, he did him a favor. Javi did this Argentinian fellow, and his name is Roberto, not our Roberto. This is a different Roberto. He did him a favor, and so he came to get the favor done. He brought in some CDs for him from his mother in Argentina. So he said, well, I'll stay and listen. Well, he was so intrigued by the message of the gospel, he said, I'll come here every Tuesday. So he kept coming on Tuesday. So after about 3 weeks, he said, what are those things are you giving the other prisoners? He said, oh, those are Bible courses. You want one? Sure, I'll take one. Well, in 1 year, he did over 50 courses. He got saved. We baptized him last September. And in this last year, we've been working with him. And just before Carolyn came, I went back on July, 4th of July. And the next weekend, this fellow Roberto had permission to leave the prison for 3 days. So he came to my house. First time that's happened. You know, the authorities are starting to have confidence in us that they're releasing the prisoners. So he came out for 3 days. And in those 3 days, we were able to dig in on the scriptures. And then he went back into prison, and right after Carolyn left, the Lord gave him another 4-day leave. So this time he was out with us for 4 days. And, you know, he's with us on Sunday morning, breaking bread, studying the scriptures. He says, this is heaven, you know, this is great. And so hopefully in the next month he'll be going back to Argentina. I'd ask you to pray for that, Roberto, as he goes back to his homeland. You know, in the assembly where I was saved in Illinois, one of the things they said there is, we send out missionaries every year. I said, how's that? Well, we get a lot of college students here that get saved, and they go out. And I was one of those college students. And I thought to myself, we're sending out missionaries from the prison in Spain. They end up, you know, I was in France. I was in France to visit the Emmaus office in France. But also, because we have a prisoner who was released at the beginning of July, so we visited with him. And, you know, his boss took him on for, I think it's like €7 an hour, about $10 an hour. And his boss after 2 weeks says, I'm going to give you a pay increase. He says, why is that? He says, you work like nobody else I know here works. He says, why do you work so well? He says, oh, because I work for Jesus. And the guy says, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Because he was working for the Lord Jesus. Now, here's a guy who's been used to driving Mercedes and Jaguars. This guy's been a dope pusher. He's had houses in Rome, in Morocco, and now he's saved, and he's doing what he learned as a young man, painting for a living. He says, you know what, Gil? When I got that first paycheck, and I cashed it, and I went to the store and I bought groceries, I bought some shampoo, and I looked at it, and I said, for the first time in my life, I bought what I have in my house. For the first time. All the other stuff has been done with deals in his life. And here this man wants to serve the Lord. You know what? He's done about 20 courses in French in the prison. Isn't that amazing? the Chinese fellow's done a half a dozen courses in Chinese. The same courses we have in English, he's done in Chinese. It's amazing how the Word of God can be put in someone's tongue, even though their second tongue is Spanish or English. It's amazing. 2 weeks ago, we had a half a dozen guys come from Nigeria who are there too because they were smuggling drugs into Spain. And we were able to give them Bibles in English, courses in English. Now, they didn't come back to the Bible study because we used to do the Bible study in Spanish, and their Spanish isn't good enough. But hopefully, they're going to get the Word of God in their language. So they ask you to pray, you know, for the prison ministry. Right now, it's busting. It was hard to leave Spain. We just had 20 courses drop in our lap, you know, drop in our lap. We're doing them by correspondence. And a lot of other prisons, the prisoners are doing courses and mailing those in. So if that takes off, I don't know if you're aware how many courses are being done in the United States in the prison. Mm-hmm. It's about 350,000 courses are being graded in the prisons in the United States. The Emmaus courses are going out about 1.3 million courses a year. That's a lot of people's lives being touched. They said there's probably a course being done every 2 minutes in the whole world. That's amazing. 100-something languages. And I tell you, many of you have done the courses in the past. And so I think that's wonderful that other people are getting the opportunity to study the Word of God as well. So we thank you for praying for those ministries. And the other ministry, last summer we had a team come up from South Florida, if you recall, last summer, not this summer, a year ago, about 15 months ago. And we handed out Emmaus postcards in the open market. And near where we live, we had somebody take the bait, you might say. And so they took the bait, and this fella, he's Portuguese, and his wife is Bolivian. And so as we let them do the courses, you know, half a dozen, we started visiting them, and now they're meeting with us. They're believers, but they've been away from the Lord, so it's really neat to see how the Lord uses going out and evangelizing. But then we have another gal who's done 30 courses, not saved yet. Her name is Anna. Would you pray for her? She is close to getting saved, but it has all sorts of problems, okay? Her parents are Spanish. She was born in Germany. They brought her back to Spain, dropped her off with the grandparents, and went back to make money. And so she's got a, like they would say today, a dysfunctional home. And her grandmother finally kicked her out of the house. And that's a whole story that I want to get into. And so she's just all alone. And here, she took our track last summer and sent it in December. And since December to now, she's done 30 courses. Okay? So it's amazing. The Lord will bring the Word of God to those people who have interest. So we'd ask you to pray. Pray for that, that the Lord would work. So having said that, that's the kind of things we're involved in. We're doing a church plant. We'd like to start an assembly near where we live. It has all its difficulties. You know, when you're young and you have children and they're coming from all sorts of backgrounds, there's all sorts of difficulties. So we'd ask you to pray that the Lord will help us work out through the difficulties because, you know, we have an enemy. You know, I don't know if you're aware of that. Maybe you don't see it as well here in the United States, but we see it overseas. The enemy is alive and kicking and would love to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. Will love to destroy you as a believer. But if you stay close to the Lord, you're untouchable. Untouchable. If you're in God's will, can't touch you. You're out of His will, watch out. Watch out. You're still saved. You're still saved. But boy, the pain and the suffering that goes along with being away from the Lord is tremendous. So please pray for the work. The young believers who are there working in our place while we're gone, they have a lot on their plate, but we'd ask you to continue praying that the Lord would hold them steadfast, unmovable, keeping on to the Lord. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I had the opportunity several months ago, almost a year now, to typeset a little booklet that came out from Emmaus Bible College. It's called the Remembrance Meeting, Our Purpose for Being, written by our brother Dave Glock, and we've had it translated into Spanish. And his purpose of the book was, what do we have as Christians here in our setting that not necessarily separates us from the rest of Christianity, but what exemplifies scriptural teaching that others should follow? And as he studied that out, he said the thing that really stands out in our setting is the Remembrance Meeting. Okay? And it's interesting, as we have different people visit us in Spain from different walks of life, they say, we've never seen anybody break bread like this. You know, it's usually tagged on at the end of a meeting where you have communion. And it's not a participation of all of the church, all of the congregation. It's two or three people who are delegated, who are the ones who guide it, who do everything with it. And they say, well, who's the leader there? Well, we say the Lord Jesus Christ is. And, well, who's the pastor? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. He's the pastor. Well, you know, how did it go that everybody knew what to say during that hour's meeting? Well, was it rehearsed? No, it wasn't rehearsed. Well, how did you know how to do it? Well, you know, there is a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst, and that's the Holy Spirit, who said he would guide us and teach us into all truth. Wow. People don't understand that. It's too mystical, you might say. Too non-evasive. You know, people aren't controlling it. God is controlling it. And so it was an interesting thing to hear this comment as we've talked to different ones. But yesterday, wouldn't it be great if the Lord talked to us like that? Just ring the phone. Yesterday we were in, after we had the meeting here for some of the Awana leaders, we went over to visit Mildred and the family. And we were sitting around and we were talking. And we started talking about Les. And we started talking about how Les did this and Les did that and Les went and did this other thing. And it was just wonderful. We were rejoicing. We were rejoicing because our brother had come alive. Because we were remembering our brother. And it's fascinating, as I was just sitting there, I thought to myself, isn't this what the breaking of bread is all about? All we needed to have done there was take out the bread and break out the cup and have a little remembrance service. You say, well, you're being sacrilegious, Gil. Not at all. Keep a finger here in 1 Corinthians because we're going to study it. But I want us to go over to Jeremiah chapter 16. I want you to see that remembrance is something of the scriptures. And in Jeremiah 16, we'll start in verse 1. The Israelites had turned away from the Lord. They were going their own route. So God was going to bring upon them judgment. And, you know, we look at judgment from God in many aspects. But in this chapter, one of the judgments is that the dead would not be buried. The dead would not be buried. You know, many of us, if I ask you, where are you from? Well, I'm from town so-and-so here in North Carolina. Well, I'm from Chicago. Well, I'm from New York. And where are your parents from? Well, my parents were from New Jersey. And where were their parents from? Well, my mom was from Germany. My dad was from so-and-so. And I ask you, would you know how to get back to your roots? No. We don't have the mindset, the biblical mindset of, this is my turf. Spain, you know, right now is going through crisis. The United States is going through crisis, too. My daughter just taught me this last lesson. When America sniffles, Europe gets a cold. Okay? Spain is going 12% unemployment right now. They speculated so badly years ago, they speculated so much to their detriment that now they have all this unemployment and there's serious problems. But you know, they won't move. They're tied to their properties. Americans, hey, there's no job here. If I have to go to California, I'll sell here and go. How many houses have you lived in your life? Some of you maybe have lived in the same house. But normally speaking, Americans move, and they move, and they move. They're not tied to a house. I look at the Spaniards, they're tied. They don't want to move. They just don't want to move. And when I look at the Old Testament, when I read about Israel, they were tied. They were locked to the ground. They had their parcel where they were required to make things grow there. That was God's purpose for them. So when they couldn't bury their dead because they were taken into captivity, that was terrible. But there was something else they couldn't do. They couldn't remember the dead. And that's where we're going to come in right now. And so we'll start in verse 1 and we'll read through down to verse 9. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. Talking about Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begot them in this land. They shall die of grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. You know what dung is here, right? Every time I come to the United States, I have to pass through security. Because my shoes touch some pretty foul things in Spain. Because I live in a rural setting. And there's cow dung everywhere. You know, the cows just, they don't use bathrooms like we do. So they dump it everywhere. Okay? And so what it's saying here is that you're going to be dropped dead. They're going to be all over the place. They're not going to be brought into a cemetery where they're all lined up, where it's nice and pretty, where you can put the flowers. No. You know, think about what it would be like to lose loved ones that you could never recover their bodies. You could never bury them. There's no closure. You know, we had an accident here about 10 years ago. There, a plane went down with a bunch of soldiers from Spain in Turkey. And so they sent some forensic doctors to Turkey to find out which the bodies were from. They didn't do a very good job. And it came out to light. So they had to take all those bodies back out of the grave, do all DNA testing, so that the families could get closure that their husbands, their sons, were the right ones. You know, we just had an air crash there in Spain off the runway in Madrid, 157 people dead. It took them over 2 weeks to identify all the bodies and all the body parts. But you know what? They did an excellent job. From what I understand, so they gave the right body to the right family to bury their dead. We don't talk about this much in the United States. You know, we want to stay away from death. Death is a reality. And in the scripture, you find it almost on every page. And here in this verse, it was talking about that they weren't going to be buried. They're going to be as dung upon the face of the earth. Let's continue reading in the middle of verse 4. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. There's not going to be any burial here. The birds are going to come down, sweep down. They're going to be eating flesh. The beasts of the field, the wolves, where they're going to be eating. It's a pretty rotten sight. But you know, Israel was living away from God. And one of the privileges God said that he would give Israel is that they would be able to bury their dead, that their people would live a long and prosperous life. And so one of God's judgments on Israel was that they wouldn't be able to bury their dead. Verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament, nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves for, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. If you're reading the King James, I read it just the way it is. I'd like to read it in how another translation has it, and also how my Spanish Bible has it. It's the same reading, understanding, but it gives it, I believe, clearer depth to it. Neither shall men break bread for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. You see what I put in there? Okay, it says, neither shall men break bread for them in mourning. So the concept of breaking of bread is an Old Testament concept. Okay? And they still practice it in some countries of the world. They still practice it. You get together and you have bread and you pass it. Everybody gets a piece, just like we do. And then you talk about the deceased. And you say something encouraging about him. And that's why yesterday when I was at the Dobie's home at Mildred, and we were talking about Les, I thought, boy, this is just what it's talking about. These believers, these Israelites, were not going to be able to do this. They were not going to be able to bring back to memory because they were going to be sent into captivity. So God brings his judgment. Now, I'm not talking about judgment for us. I'm talking about what the purpose. It was a blessing to remember the dead. Now, just stop and think how Satan has warped and perverted that today. I come from a religion where they light candles, where they make masses for the dead to pray for them so that they get to heaven and out of purgatory, so that they would be purged. What a twist, what a perverted twist to what God had in mind. You know, God has in mind that I know what my grandparents are like. I have no idea. I don't even know who my father is, let alone my grandparents. I know on my mother's side, and I know just a little bit. So I would love, when I've gone to some of you who are older, I've gone to your houses, I pick your brain. Yeah, I would do that when Maxine was around, and Brother Les, I do it with Bob still. Well, how was it 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago? Well, I wasn't around 70 years ago, was I? I just turned 50. I'm just half a century old now. I'm really old now. I'm halfway, Mark, okay? I'm just kidding there, right? But, you know, you stop and think about that, and you say, okay, what is life like? What was it like? What were the things happening? And you know, when I stop and consider the wisdom of age, then I can speak with a certain amount of authority. You say, it's bad now. Well, was it bad when you had a fight in the war? World War II? Was that pretty nice? Not at all. Why did so many people get saved back at the end of the 40s, early 50s? Because they had seen the wretchedness of mankind. They were looking for hope. They were looking for kindness. They were looking for mercy. And today, I tell you, I'm not wishing evil on the United States by no means. But you know, it's kind of nice, in a way, that we're suffering a little bit. You know why? Because maybe some people might look up and say, God, help me. In reality, instead of their pocketbook always helping them. You know, the God of today is love of money. And listen, don't get me wrong, I'm not wishing evil on anyone here. I don't want hard times. I like the comforts too. But I understand, as people suffer, as people go through hardships, they look to God. They look to Him. And so when we see these portions of Scripture, that they would not break bread for their mourning, you know, it's a comfort to stop and think, what was Brother Les like? What was Sister Maxine like? You know, when I sit up here in the front, I'm always sitting in front of that organ. You know what I think of when I, yeah, I think of the Love Family. You know, I think of that. I think she learned to play the organ for the love of the brethren. She didn't know how to play the organ before. But, you know, those who have come after don't know some of the history, right? But I know some of the history, and you know some more of the history. And with Brother George, he was talking about, yeah, we've been put all those blocks up. And, you know, then Brother Worth Ellis would want to come and start helping on the roof, and they said, get down from there. You don't know how to do it. You're going to fall off. Well, I didn't know those stories, but they told them to me. And so then I showed that with my kids. You know who put the blocks up? Well, no. Well, let me tell you. Well, did you know that Les was a band leader? I was telling that to my daughter last night. I didn't know he was a band leader. Did you know that he had some gigs up in New York? No, I didn't know he had some gigs up in New York. Huh? Well, you know, then he got saved and he used all those talents for the Lord. Wow. We can lament. We can mourn for the dead, but we can bring them alive. Not as some religions do, to pray for them out of purgatory, please. But rather to see the examples that God has given to us. And I've said this numerous times. You know, I love to come back here to this assembly because of the examples that I have. Because, you know, I'm seeing it more and more. It is not easy to grow old, is it? It's not easy. But you know what? The perseverance of that is an example to me. And I tell you, this brother Javi and his wife Eva, who were here with us in February, he's got one thing down in his Christian. He's got a lot of things down, but one in particular is stick at it. Perseverance. And many times when we're talking, I said, well, you know, this brother, he's been doing this ministry there in North Carolina for 50 years. Wow, I'm only 32, 33. I got a long way to go. That's an example, isn't it? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians now. And we'll start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So Paul shared this, and he's delivered it to us. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, and he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. So we come together, and we're supposed to remember the Lord. Now, somebody brought this to my attention some years ago. It doesn't say remember his death. Do you know that? It doesn't say remember my death. It says, remember me. Remember me. And so when we come together, and I ask you, what has the Lord taught you about himself this week? I hope it's something. I hope it's something wonderful. You know, I was in Germany, and I hear this word, Wunderbar. I think, wow, that's a great word, Wunderbar. It's like, wonderful. And I think, that's a wonderful word. The Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. You know, you hear somebody who's German, I was hearing the choruses, I don't know German, but I thought, that's got to be our word in English, wonderful, and that's got to be the word, such as, and I'm trying to piece the words together, and I don't know German, so I can at least participate in the breaking of bread in German. But it's wonderful that they can remember the Lord in German, and we can remember the Lord in English, and we can remember the Lord in Spanish, and other people can do it in French. It's the same Lord. And as I'm in the Scriptures daily, as you should be in the Scriptures daily, as you're saying, how is the Lord? And I tell you, what I shared this morning, I had been out of my heart. You know, I was in Germany, and I was out of it. I was out in left field. I didn't understand. If you left me, I would be lost. But fortunately, there was a few people who could interpret a little bit, and I could kind of get around. And that was wonderful. I thought to myself, that passage this morning that I shared, God confused the languages. He did a perfect job, didn't he? He did a wonderful job. So wonderful that, man, they pay top dollar for good translators out there today. You know that? So when you translate, you get some good money out there. It's like 3 cents a word if you translate. You know, and with the computer programs now, you know it's about 1,200, 1,500 words in some little nothing, and you get all sorts of money. But you know, the Lord Jesus should be who we remember. What does the Lord mean to you? What has He done for you? When I think of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me, even though it was 2,000 years ago, He died for me. That's wonderful. When I tell that to a prisoner in jail, you should see his eyes light up. When I tell him, you know, you can be free in jail, he says, no kidding, how? I says, trust the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll find out. And when they do, they say, hey, there's no barriers here. I've come to be a free man in Christ. Before I was bound to sin. I did all the wickedness, the perverse thing, but now I'm free. I'm not bound to that sin because Jesus has paid for me. He took my place at the cross. I don't have to die at the cross. That we call substitution. And we teach these guys vocabulary. Some of them have never been to school. You should see some of their writing. But you know what? One thing stands out. Not their pretty handwriting. Not their scores. But when they tell you, I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and now I tell everybody in my cell, down my quarter, that I love Jesus. And that I'm going to heaven. And I know why I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm a good person, not because I've been baptized, not because I did communion, because Jesus took my place. I don't know about you, but I can't say that enough. It's wonderful. I come together on a Sunday morning, we remember that, and I say, well, it translates. It takes me into another area of the Christian life. Because I remember my Savior. I remember who He is. I remember what He's done. And it brings comfort. Just like Israel could not be comforted because they couldn't practice that. Those of us who can practice it are comforted because we remember our Savior in all of His plenitude, all of his plentifulness, all the things that He has done. And you know what? That is wonderful. I've never shared out of Genesis chapter 11 and the breaking of bread in my life till this morning. Never. I thought, how in the world could I relate what Jesus Christ did for me out of the Tower of Babel? But never struck me. Come the Lord Jesus Christ at the end, everybody's going to speak and exalt the Savior in the same tongue. Wow! I never put those two and two together. I never even heard it before. I might even be wrong, but you know what? I'm based in the loving of just meditating on that thought. And that's our Savior. And then it goes further on in verse 25. After the same manner, just as you gave thanks for the bread, at the same manner, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. So now they have the cup, and it talks about a covenant. It talks about an agreement, a contractual agreement that God has done with us. And I don't know if you're aware, in the Old Testament, when Abraham did his covenant with God, they split a heifer, they separated, and the light went through representing that it was a unilateral covenant. It was only with God. Abraham just watched God go through. In the giving of the law, Moses, it was a bilateral agreement. God said, I will do for you if you do the law. And it was shown that God gave the law to prove not that you can be saved by the law, but that the law condemns you because you cannot keep it. It's impossible to keep the law because we're all covenant breakers. So that covenant is no longer today good. It says that Christ absolved it. He completed it. It's gone. We're under a new covenant, the covenant of grace. And God, here, when we've passed the cup, We lose some of the symbology of it, the symbolism of it, because we have little cups. And I understand that. If you're working with some of the people we work with who have HIV and, you know, have hepatitis and also, we're thinking about going to the cup, little cups down the future. But we saw some people up in New York and they have one cup, but it's got a little lip on it. And so everybody walks in, they get their little cup and they pass one cup and you just pour into your cup and drink out of that. I thought that's an interesting idea. Never seen that in my life before. Hey, you live and you learn and you say, hey, I don't want to have anybody get hepatitis. I don't want anybody to get HIV. And you say, well, you can't get it that way. Well, you'd be surprised what you can get. Okay? And you'd be surprised. And so, but here there's a cup. It's a covenant. God has agreed to save us by the precious blood of Christ. There's no other blood like this one. No other blood. And God said it. All those animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament were like a video. You know, you watch video today? You watch on TV, you can watch the movie over and over and over. You know, that's how we've done it in Spain. We've watched some movies. I'm sure I've watched them dozens of times. Over. My kids can even tell you where the punchlines are. You know? Okay? But you know, when they watched the sheep being killed in the morning, in the evening, morning and evening, it was supposed to make them think, what's this talking about? So when John the Baptist shows up on the scene, he says, oh, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They could say, bang, I can understand it from all of the, I understand that video now. It all fits together as a puzzle. And when we have that cup, it's talking about how God has brought all this together. He is the one who's made the covenant. And we have peace with God. Once and for all, He has done it for us. And so we remember the Lord Jesus Christ in all the facets. Today we might think of His virgin birth. Tomorrow we might think of His death on the cross. The next day we might think of how He was the Messiah sent to be. But all of that reminds us of it, brings it afresh and alive so that we can bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how about you? It's comforting. It's consoling. And I tell you, yesterday being with the Dolby family, it was comforting. We walked out of there, and one of my children said, I've never seen a family so rejoicing because they had remembered the really neat things about their husband, their father, their grandfather. It was wonderful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you give us a wonderful life to live here. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that makes our lives wonderful, that He is this focal point, the center of our life. And Father, we pray that you would continue to help us to walk in newness of life, that we can present the claims of the beautifulness of our Savior to a lost world. Father, we would commit to you this afternoon the funeral service for our brother Les. Thank you right now that he is rejoicing in your presence. Oh Lord, what a joy that is. And Lord, we do pray that you would be glorified and honored in this afternoon service. And Lord, we thank you again that we can remember you week by week, that we can remember what a wonderful Savior that we have, and that we can remember what you have done personally for each one of us. That I can remember what you did for me, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. Lord, we just commit the rest of the day into your hands. In Jesus' name.